Richard Verlander is with us on Sports Byline USA. And again, I want to tell you the name of the book, Rocks Across the Pond, Lessons Learned, Stories Told. And Richard and Kathy, the parents of Justin Verlander. I know you have a chapter in this book in which you say you lost your identity. Explain to everybody what that is.
Yeah, well, it became something of a joke at work for me. I was pretty proud of my own accomplishments and, felt like, I had made some noteworthy strides in my own career. And then Justin gets drafted by the Detroit Tigers. And on that day, I was forever more known as Justin's dad and introduced as such. And it's a label that I wear proudly, but it's also kind of funny because, any time my former boss would even introduce me, he knew I got a chuckle out of it. So it was always, and now let's hear from Justin's dad. So you really do, though. I mean, it's great, but it's also something that you have to get your head around because no matter where we go, what the conversation, especially around sports-oriented folks that find out we're Justin's parents, it always quickly turns to, oh, my gosh. And, that's something that takes a little getting used to.
You know, I've said this before on this program, most people cannot relate to the life of a professional athlete, not only the money, but just the environment that they have to live in. And I'm just wondering, Richard, if you can give us a perspective. You mentioned about losing your identity to some degree, and there are a lot of parents out there that would revel in the ability to be able to know, be known as somebody's parents because they will be catered to and everything else. Give me some insight about that.
Yeah, well, it's very different, especially we come from working class blue collar roots, and my wife and I have been married for 37 years and a very normal life that suddenly gets turned upside down. And frankly, for us, one of the biggest challenges is as you mentioned earlier, the gradual transition that most parents experience or when to cut the ties with a young son. That for us, we had a young athlete that was on an allowance every week going to college, and suddenly, here's some perspective for you. I now ask him if I can borrow the car keys. in some instances, it's a little sad because we actually feel like, as I say in the book, we sort of missed the handoff. There wasn't much of a gradual sort of transition for that most parents experience where, the young person leaves home and goes out and, gets an education and starts to work in the world, but still needs to kind of lean on mom and dad a little bit. That tie got cut pretty quickly for us. And certainly Justin and Ben will both always be our sons, but it's more than certainly an advisory role for Justin because he's been very blessed and very fortunate to be in a position that, we certainly never would have dreamed of coming along. So it's all good, but there's always challenges and no matter what you're doing, I think as a parent, whether your son's a superstar major leaguer or just a blue collar worker. I mean, it's the relationships and the important things are all the same.
What about that transition in making business and baseball decisions? Because I've said on this program many times, I feel sorry for an 18-year-old kid who is a talented college athlete, and most notably basketball or football, who's being recruited by a lot of colleges. They're trying to make life-changing decisions or decisions that are going to be important to their life going forward. But when it comes to a player going into baseball, into a professional business, a professional sport, those are pretty big decisions as well. Tell me a little bit, Richard, about how you guys kind of step back and maybe turn it over to an agent or how collectively as a family, or did you just leave that right up to Justin to make the final decision on some of those things?
Well, actually, the answer is yes to both questions. We did collectively as a family. What Kathy and I tried to do was insulate Justin as much as we could from the onslaught, if you will, of agents. And let's face it, I don't know how many folks out there are aware, but to be an agent, basically, you need a business card.
That's it.
I could declare myself an agent today and go looking for young athletes you know, that's the unfortunate side of the business. And likewise, if it looks like you're going to sign a big contract, financial agents are also coming out of the woodwork all of a sudden. And you've got a 17, 18-year-old kid coming out of high school, for instance. Holy smokes, that's way more than they're ready to handle, whether they think they are or not. And in our case, we were fortunate. Justin's college coach and us, we all sat down together and sort of served as a filter. With all the inquiries, we did our homework, we narrowed the list down, and just asked Justin to focus on playing baseball. And at the end of the day, we came up with about 10. And then when the time was right, we sat down with Justin, and ultimately Justin made the decision. But we really tried to protect him as much as we could from that, because, you know, that's just not a decision that your average young person is ready to make all by themselves. You know, now he's a business-savvy, you know, adult, but coming out and looking at the draft, and my goodness gracious, you know, you think about not just athletically and, you know, entering into a professional world of professional sports, but just entering an adult world, a very adult world. And again, that gets back to what I say, for a high schooler, my goodness, to say that you're going to take $100,000 and head off to the Dominican Republic and play baseball with grown men, I mean, holy Toledo, that's just a very scary proposition.
One of the things that is very interesting about professional sports and the human nature is balance. I think you know that as well as I do, Richard. I had my friend Joe Morgan, the Hall of Famer, say to me, on the days you go 4-for-4, you better forget that, because there's going to be days when you go 0-for-4 and you have to have that balance. I want to apply that to an area and get your thoughts on it as well. Archie Manning is a good friend of mine. Of course, he has two very talented sons in Eli and Peyton. And how they interacted together and how he helped them, and as they became stars, as you know, when you become a star in any sport, somebody wants a piece of you. And I always admired Michael Jordan for the fact that everybody wanted something, or to do commercials or what have you. And that balance is very, very difficult, because, you know, it's what have you done for me lately when it comes to sports that gets you the opportunities. Tell me a little bit about how Justin has dealt with that.
Well, I've been really proud of you know, certainly the most noteworthy events professionally would be last year. I mean, with the Cy Young and the MVP, the number of requests for appearances and that sort of thing, endorsements, if you will, went through the roof exponentially. And Justin was very judicious about how much he did. I mean, on the one hand, it's a bit of an obligation and a responsibility, I think, that you know, and you're right, you do. I mean, how many bites at that apple do you get? So I don't think you want to totally turn your back on them. But I also think if you're not careful, it can get in your head, and, you know, all of a sudden your focus isn't where it needs to be. So Justin, you know, with his off-season appearances, and I also really like a lot of the things that he's done. For us, for our family, it's as you said, I mean, it's 1 minute you're on top of the world, the next minute, especially in baseball, one day you're 4-for-4, the next day, you know, they're ready to run you out of town. So I think our philosophy that, and this is something else that we didn't invent, but we picked up along the way, is don't get too high with the highs and don't get too lows with the lows. And Justin has never been much into all the adulation, if you will. I mean, he loves his fans. He loves Detroit. But the awards and things, he's always been a little, gee, why is everybody making such a big deal about me? And, you know, I say that humbly and very proudly as a parent. And if you know Justin, he really is that way. And he relishes his downtime. And, you know, the things he does with his success, like the work he does for veterans, the work he does for underprivileged kids in New York and in Detroit and those kind of things. That's what he likes to do with his time, and that's what we like to see him do.
One of the things that I know, that when you do become successful, and especially when you're a good guy like he is, it's hard to say no. Is that hard for him to do?
No, because he's had to. I mean, he was just telling me a story just the day before yesterday. He was just hanging out before the game, and some particularly loud and obnoxious gentleman who had I think, had a few too many drinks. Was just really after him to, you know, let's sign a picture, let's take a picture, let's do this, let's do that. And, you know, some you just have to learn how to say no. And, you know, if you don't, then you're just not going to have any personal time. You're not going to have any ability at all to, Justin loves nothing better than to hang out with his friends from his hometown and loves nothing better than to be normal, which, you know, when the spotlight's not on, there's nothing he'd rather do than just hang out with his buddies. And, you know, if somebody infringes on that, then Justin's going to have to say, you know, no. And it's not something that comes naturally to him at all, because he is a giving person. But when you're in the spotlight, so to speak, you just have to.
Joe Morgan said to me that he started preparing for retirement the first day he started playing, aware certainly that it could come to an end all of a sudden. What type of approach has Justin taken about his career?
Well, Justin, I couldn't say that he's of that mindset. I mean, he's a different kind of cat. He's set a goal for himself to be in the Hall of Fame. And that sounds a little weird, and we talk about it in the book, and even a little arrogant. But if you know Justin, it's not really that at all. It's just that he has such high expectations of himself that he feels like at this point in time in his career that that's a logical goal. And to reach that goal, he'll have to, you know, bring a couple of World Series rings to Detroit, and really will have to push himself to ever. And he's been very fortunate that, you know, he's been healthy, and he's been very blessed in that regard. So even coming up, he would tell you, and I certainly don't condone this, any little kids that happen to be listening out there, Justin really never had a plan B. And I'm not sure he has one now. Other than if you look at his Twitter page, he'll tell you that he's a professional baseball player and a semi-pro golfer. I think he does fashion himself a bit of a golfer. Whenever his playing days, we'll see about that.
You know, I've never quite understood why all golfers, or excuse me, baseball players, love the game of golf. And I finally asked one of my friends why that was. He said, because it's the only ball in sport that you hit without it moving.
They've obviously not seen me play. But and you know, all the baseball players want to be golfers, and all the golfers want to be basketball, and all the basketball players want to be rock stars. It's just amazing. You know, but one of the coolest stories for me with Justin, though, is, you know, even among stars, there's stars, and Nolan Ryan's always been his hero. And after Justin threw his first no-hitter, Nolan Ryan called him. And Justin says, man, I wish I could have that conversation again, because I was so nervous and so in awe that I just stumbled and bumbled and don't even remember what I said.
We only have a little bit over a minute left, Richard, but when you think about how you've raised both your boys and also Justin's success and everything, what is it that makes you and Kathy the most proud?
Well, honestly, it's the things that he does with his success. We really believe that to those that much is given, much should be expected. And the Cy Young, the MVP, those things are nice. But, you know, Justin donates his sweet on days he pitches in Detroit to the families of injured veterans. And, you know, the things he does with his downtime to work with less privileged kids and those kind of things as a parent certainly are the things that make you the most proudest. The other stuff is great and puts a smile on your face, but at the end of the day, as I said, it's what he does with his success that makes us happy, and the fact that he's happy doing and loves his job. You know, no matter how much money you make or how many material things, if you're not happy and you're not fulfilled with what you're doing, then, you know, you really, it's not going to last. And so those are the things that we care about and I think make us proudest.
Well, congratulations not only for the way you've raised both your boys, but also the manner in which you've done it, and also for writing this book. Before you came on, I said I was glad to see a book like this, one that parents, everybody can use. It's called Rocks Across the Pond, Lessons Learned and Stories Told. Thank you. And, Richard, you are welcome back here anytime, and at some point we'll have Justin on because it would be fun to talk to him as well and get his perspective. Thanks a lot, Richard.
That's great. All right, thank you.
Richard Verlander with us. He is the father of Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander. We continue on Sports Byline.